Welcome along, ladies and gentlemen, for the first live DraftKings chat. And when we say DraftKings chat, you know, we are pretty average at this, aren't we, boys? We have not had the best of weeks, as you're about to find out. Apparently, we're pretty good at giving advice, but apparently we don't follow it all that well. Gentlemen, this week we were at TPC Sawgrass, excellent golf tournament, fantastic golf course, to which some of you listeners are going to find out all about in the next podcast that we do. But running through the week, Mr. Wright, I'm going to come to you first, big guy, because it was a big week for you. You needed to get yourself up and running and get yourself back up that slice of golf leaderboard. How did it go?
Yeah, poorly. Really, really poorly. I got nothing. What an absolute shocker it was from some of the major, from some of the big players, first of all. I'd picked, of my six players, three missed the cut, which
always helps, of course.
By the way, there was someone in the league who had five players miss the cut, so I don't feel quite as bad as them.
The team was pretty good, though. Yeah, there were a lot of big hitters in there.
I had Mr. makes 400 top tens, never misses a cut, Tony Finau. What was he on round one? Plus six. Great. Brilliant. So that's a strong start. First time I put Cantlay in the team, was really confident about him. Finished on plus five, missed the cut. Great, perfect. Even my other strongest, most expensive pick, Morikawa, well, he did his best to almost miss the cut, just about made it, and still managed to get a scrape through minus two. So for me, pick of the season so far is still Zalatoris. It just came through, played really well, six under, super good value as well for the tournament. I'm never not picking him. He's always going to be on my team. No, that's it. He's in. But yeah, so absolute shocker. 290 points, finished in 26th position. Actually tied with Timbo. So I'm not sure what we do there. Do we both take a point? I feel like we should both take a point.
Yeah, I think you'd take a point.
Okay, yeah, so absolute shocker. It's not helped anything.
That, by the way, I have absolutely no idea how it's possible. You have six players each over the course of four rounds of golf, and it's so easy to accumulate points and then it takes some away, and you two both ended up on the exact same total. I thought was bonkers, really. What did you finish up on total wise?
290 points and 50, or 290.5 points.
Right, yeah. Mr. Williams, run us through what the side looked like and what happened for you to get 290.5 points.
Toilet. That's a toilet. ended up picking a very similar lineup to Chris. And I felt, you know what? I put it out there. I said it to the world. I was so supremely confident about the team I picked. I thought every single one of these is a gun. Three miscuts. And then even Morikawa, as you say, like he narrowly made the cut and then went plus four on Saturday. Zalatoris, only guy really bringing the points in. Cantlay, Hatton, Griot, all just massively letting me down. In our defense, all I'll say, you couldn't have seen that coming. You could not guys missing the cut.
This is where I'd love to stick the knife in and give you two a bit, but the list of players that missed the cut this week is that would easily grace the top of a leaderboard at most tournaments, at major tournaments. The level of players that missed the cut was huge. I was very fortunate this week. I just about did the same thing. Had three missed cutters. My two bankers, my two absolute top dog picks, Victor Hovland, Tony Finau, thank you very much for coming, for investing all of your change. We're going home after Friday. And then also, it was one of those occasions, you know, you're trying to fit players in and you're like, right, I've got pittance left. So I've just got to put someone in there who I think is going to make the cut. I kept sliding in and out. I was toying between Wiesberger and Charlie Hoffman. Well, Charlie Hoffman finished on 7 under. And made the cut, had an outstanding tournament, which would have thrust me up the leaderboard. And Wiesberger, well, he missed the cut. So well done, mate. Good work. So the whole do your research stuff kind of went out the window on that one because Wiesberger was better on paper and all that crap.
All I can say is I had three players all cost me more than $9,000. Two of those missed the cut. You can't have a team with heavy weighted on $9,000 players and have them miss the cut. It's just not acceptable. That is not okay.
I do have to add in, I got incredibly fortunate that Cameron Smith made the cut with his final putt. He made it on the number and then shot, I think it was, he shot 7 under round 3 alone.
Last week I said there was two players that I knew I was going to regret not picking, Casey and Cam Smith.
Yeah, I mean he was frustrating late into Friday night, I'm not going to lie, but then he pulled out that final putt and I was like, oh yes. Long way to go from there, but I mean shooting 7 under, it does go a long way to help boosting the score. Yeah.
So can I just throw in a couple of the comments here because these are quite good. We're getting through on the live. I think this is quite good. We've got Morikawa did his best to try and miss the cut. He really did. Caused me a lot of stress on Friday night with that. I was thinking that I was going to have three of my $9,000 players miss. Matthew says, "Well, this is why there's no live or there's no podcast. He's been waiting all day for us guys to give the Fantasy League pod, and now it's here. So that's great." But his technique is pick a name you like and have a bit of a gamble. So, yeah, I think there's a lot to that, just not paying attention to the stats and just having a bit of fun with it.
Yeah, I mean, there is an element of that, but I kind of feel like I picked my team on in 10 minutes last week and that led to us finishing, what was it, 28th, 29th, 30th or something really, really crap. Really so weird. We're streaming a podcast live, giving you some insights. And when in actual fact, we're pretty rubbish ourselves.
This is not advice, by the way. We're just telling you who we picked.
Basically, podcast telling you how bad we are.
Yeah.
Although someone, Pietro, messaged me earlier and said, really enjoyed your podcast last week. It really helped me pick my team. And he was in the money. He was like third or something. I was like, what did you do? Just hear who we picked and picked people that we hadn't picked? With them. How did you come up with this?
Yeah, but I've kept my eye on Petro. He's been in the money most weeks. So I think we should get him on. Find out the magic sauce.
Phil Palmer's putting in some scores. He's always in the top. He went through a period of like finishing bottom and then all of a sudden he started appearing in the top five. So yeah, there's some definite bandits out there.
So rounding off last week, bit of a shocker from the boys, but I'm really, really pleased to announce that I've extended the lead because I scored 309.50 points. So I took the win, 3 points for me, 1 point for those two. This week, we have a, should we say, limited field. The budget doesn't stretch very far for major names in this in this competition. That's probably fair to say. So because of that, as soon as the league invite came through, I jumped on there as we always do, started having a look, and I was like, oh shit, this isn't really one that you could probably wing this week. So I've gone the opposite of that advice that you've just given about taking it casual, and I put in more research this week than I have at any other point. For this week's team, we're looking at the Honda Classic, famously has the bear trap, which consumes a lot of golf balls, even for the pros.
There's so much water on this course.
Oh, yeah.
Florida just loves water.
A lot. You've got to be an accurate hitter, which is key in who I picked for my team.
Is there more water on this golf course than there is at Perford Golf Club? Because I don't think that's possible.
I mean, it's not far off.
I think it could be the America's Perford, actually. That's what they're calling it. Right, Timothy, run us through it, Honda Classic this week.
Similar to what you said, following on from all of our advice to not go into the statistics, I have gone into the statistics to pick this one, basically because you need to this week with the field we've got. First name out of the hat was a guy that was actually impressing me quite a lot at the Players last weekend. Obviously, a lot of big names, as we said, went home after the first 2 days. So I spent a little bit of time looking at some of the, maybe the perhaps more unfamiliar names out there. And Doug Gim really, really impressed me the weekend. And off the back of that, I'll just be doing a little bit more research into him and just, kind of what he's about. I mean, he only turned pro 2 years ago, and his debut at Augusta was pretty special, actually, when he first came on the scene. He was the world's number one amateur for quite a long time. And whilst he's about, I think he's about 238th in the world in the rankings.
Yeah.
He's 64th in the FedEx Cup.
Yeah, strong.
Standings. So if you want kind of just a bit of an indication of trajectory, if you like, of a young player, I think that's going places. So Doug Gim's gone in for me this week. It was actually quite a decent price. 8.8.
It wasn't your most, was he your most expensive pick for the week?
No.
No. Okay.
No, it was my third most expensive pick for the week.
Yeah.
8.8. So yeah. Doug Gim's gone in there.
He's going. Tim's got a bit rogue. He's not going in chronological order. He's going in his favourite, something.
My favourite. After that, I've gone Shane Lowry. Yeah. I think he's going about his business, you know, quietly but well. But if you look at his stats so far this season, in terms of good off the tee, around the green, he's good. Tee to green ranks really well. I think he's kind of in a bit of a groove at the moment. So he's gone in there. It's pretty expensive, 9.2.
But what I've read, and I'm going to come onto it in a bit, is this course can get quite windy. Shane Lowry won arguably the hardest Open to win that we've seen in our lifetime in, you know, a hurricane. So he's proven that he's pretty good in the wind. So I'd say that's a good pick.
Conversely, I would actually say my rogue. This is going to be a weird thing to say, and I'll get some heat for this. My rogue pick of the week is my most expensive pick of the week. Interestingly. Okay. Adam Scott is my most expensive pick.
I don't think that's a rogue pick. I think that's a good pick.
Now, the only reason I'm saying it's rogue is he's a lot of money. And if you look at his sort of performances in some of the recent events, they've not been brilliant. But I think if you look at his performances in events where there's been a reduced field and where I think he's going to come into his own this weekend, I think there's a solid chance he might clear up this weekend. He's looking good. His swing always looks good, doesn't it? Let's be honest. Beautiful. But yeah, he's my most expensive pick this week.
Okay.
Moving down to, I'm then going to go to my cheapest because I've now discovered a new trend that I'm going to follow probably throughout this year, which is basically pick an old experienced player who's probably just going to make the cut and do nothing else.
Oh, I consider doing that. And there's quite a few this week as well. Legends of the game. KJ, BJ Singh, Jim Furyk, Steve Stricker.
Jim Furyk is making the cut this weekend. He's going to be in there. And at 6.9, you can't get better than that for like your cheap pick of the week.
It's from as well. Not that I know.
Exactly. Go,
but local.
Now, going into these, I'm really going to try and get this name right. If you listen to the podcast, you know I'm awful at getting names right. I will definitely mispronounce the surname. Patton Kizzire?
Kizzire. Okay, fine.
He's got some insane stats going on. He's 12 cuts made in succession. And this season, in terms of rounds at 65 or under, the only player on tour with more is Patrick Cantlay.
Interesting. Okay.
So he's going in there.
Okay.
And at 7.5, good value again.
Agreed.
And rounding off my picks are Kyung-Hoon Lee.
Okay.
Had a great run at the Players. Unfortunately, had just a couple of really wayward shots which let him down, but came close to winning the Phoenix Open again. A player that I think is just the kind of guy that I think will suit and go well at this tournament. So yeah, Scott, Gim, Lowry, Kizzire, Lee and Furyk for me this week, which actually, and I know I say this pretty much every other week, I'm confident about this lot.
You have said that every week, bar one, and the bar one. Yeah, nice. Okay.
I like it. Mr. Wright.
I'm really intrigued to hear about your research, Ben. It's making me a little bit nervous.
This is where we find out our research was the first article and we picked the exact same lineup.
Yeah. So I read an article. Actually, I can't even say I read the whole article. I read the first paragraph. And considering that my previous research efforts have gone to absolute shit with my teams, I decided to just take a slightly different approach. In this article, in the first paragraph, it said, players who play well at the Sony, whichever it was, the one in Hawaii, play well here. So all I've done is I've gone through the players. Whoever crushed it at Sony, I've picked them. That's how I've picked my team this week. I've gone all in on that. So basically, you can pick any of the top three players. So that's fine. So I've gone Neiman, just because I quite enjoy Neiman. He finished second at the Sony. Then I've gone, and he was 10,004. Then at ninth grand, I've got Chris Kirk, who finished second at the Sony.
Looked good this week as well, so he's in form.
Looked good this week. Then I've gone Brendan Steele, who finished fourth at the Sony at 8,700.
I had something that I read as well. Horses for courses. This is Brendan Steele's week. This is his course. Like, he plays really well around here, apparently.
Then I've gone Patton Kazir in there because he finished.
That makes a full set for Kazir, by the way.
Watch him, Mr. Kirk.
He finished seventh at the Sony. I've then gone a classic cup maker for me, Matt Jones, loves it, 11th at the Sony. So there's five people that are almost within the top 10 at the Sony. And then I was really struggling with the final pick. I've got $7,000 left. I thought about going for an old PJ Singh or someone who was on there. This is the one that I'm really worried about, mainly because he only finished 32nd at the Sony. And that concerns me. And that's Mark Hubbard. Mainly the other reason is because I don't know anything about him, and I would struggle to find him on the TV if we if he gets any TV time. The only reason that worries me is he misses a lot of cuts, but and I'm talking like 50-50. But when he makes them, he does all right. Like, he scores 80-90 points. It's either 80-90 or 20. Like, there's no in between, so that concerns me. But yeah, that's my team.
So by all accounts, from the reading that I've done, the amount of sand on this course, the amount of water on this course, that might not be a bad shout. It might not be a bad roll of the dice, because it's not a bomber's paradise. You do have to be accurate. And, you know.
Yeah, that's basically my team, is whoever crushed it at the Sony. So as long as you made the cut and finished top 10 at the Sony, you're in my team, apart from Mark, who finished 32nd. So I went all in on that stat.
Interesting, because I think that the article that you read was also the article that I read in full. Is it the DraftKings blog by any chance?
No.
All right. Okay. Maybe not. Okay. Equally, same information for me. It was pick the guys who did well at Sony, basically, because of course the competition's fairly similar. After a balanced lineup last week, near impossible to get it this week because I wanted to try and say balance. So I went this week, I went two from the top, two from the middle, two from the bottom.
Okay.
And then out of the article, I was just picking names. I was like, yep. One person who does not make the article, and there's a reason for this. I wanted to pick either Berger or Sung Jae-im. Sung Jae-im's been in great form, had him last week. Yeah. But no one since 1978 has defended this tournament. Sung Jae-im won this last time out. Exactly. So that meant Sung Jae-im is out of the mix, and I'm going Daniel Berger.
And he was 11 grand, wasn't he, Sung Jae-im?
He was punchy because he is defending, and he just played really, really well.
For me, I would have definitely had Berger in the team. It was literally Berger or Neiman. I think you have to choose between the two.
Well, I'm about to prove to you that you don't, actually. Oh, so, managed to get Berger in there, win at Pebble, finished ninth at the Players. And I'm like, you know, it was either him or him, so I got him in. Also got Wacky Neiman. He was DraftKings' top pick. He was their pick for the week.
Okay.
Throwing all my gems out there.
This is great.
I'd squeeze him in. Plays on well on difficult courses and does well in the wind, apparently. Did well at Sony, as you've already said. Next two were guys from the middle budget. Wyndham Clark. Now, slightly alarming, he finished 134th at the Players. But what goes in his defense is a lot of the big hitters were crap last week. So I've given him the benefit of the doubt. That was just an off week. He's played here twice and has finished 11th or better both times. So I'm banking him on him here. To make the full set, Patton Kazire. Yes, he was mentioned in the article, but honestly, he was the one name in the whole sheet that jumped out for me because my brother the whole weekend was talking about him and he kept saying his name wrong. So, you know, when you see someone's name on a list or you see a word on a list and it just jumps out of you. And all I could see was his name. I was like, well, I've just got to pick him. This bloke has wound me up all weekend. In he goes. So got him in there, and that means pretty much my budget is gone. So now it's down to the basement picks and the value picks that DraftKings put out there. So we went with Chez Reavie.
Yeah, I heard that he was a big good pick for this week. Although, have you seen his form? I just couldn't pick him based on his form.
Yeah, and it kind of goes against my grain of players. You know, I said the other week, don't pick players that you're not that interested in watching based on Bryson. I just, unfortunately, Chez, you're just not that exciting to watch, unfortunately. Really? Sorry. You don't hit it masses. Your putter lets him down. That was written in the article. But he was a value pick. Last week, he gained 5.4 strokes on the field.
Yeah.
Tee to green. And he's known to be one of the most accurate hitters in the field. So if the wind picks up and he keeps the ball dry and he can putt, he could...
He's another one. He's 20 points, 50 points, 26 points, 80 points, 20 points, 30 points. I was looking at his stats going, I know I should be able to put him in. I just can't. There's so many recent missed cuts. It just panicked me too much. But I think he's a good pick.
And final one was super basement. We're talking near the lowest end. So $6,200. I went with Chase Seifert. So, again, this is a bit of an out there stat. So big thing for this week was strokes gained approach. Basically, ball striking. The good ball strikers typically do well here. Again, this is a bit of a rogue stat, and I really am clutching at straws here, but his name did come up in the article again. Over the past three seasons on Nicholas Design courses, Chase Seifert actually comes out in the top five strokes gained. Versus rest of the field.
Was that in the article, or have you researched that stat?
I think I can't remember. I might have gone a little bit further and had a look, but I was like, look, I've got to start. I can't be finishing 20, whatever.
I mean, that is clutching.
That is so. He and how much was he?
6,200. So in theory,
bottom of the pack, 6,200.
Nicholas Course has got a few of them. They're not easy courses, and he's top five in strokes gained versus the rest of the field. Comes in the top five, PGA Tour.
And where's he in the PGA Tour currently?
Oh, well, just don't worry about that. We're just worrying about the strokes gained stat, because that's apparently all that matters for this pick. Basically, I needed super cheap players, and he was the one that I actually saw pop up, and I was like, yep, cool, that will do.
That's how you got, and to be fair, if you get Berger and Neiman and they finish one and two, you're laughing. So yeah. That's the risk, isn't it?
That's it. So I got... Running one more time. Berger, Neiman, Wyndham Clark, Patton Kizzire, Chez Reavie, and Chase Seifert. Right. Wrapping up from last week, Christopher, do you have the league standings so we can just let everyone know where we're at?
No, but I can find them. You have to keep it entertained. I know that I'm on 2 points. I can tell you that. Ben, you'll be on like nine.
I think I'm on seven.
I think you're on seven.
Two first and a second.
Yeah.
I believe. And then Tim should be a little bit less than that. Anyway, apparently Chris can't work his computer quick enough. So that about wraps us up for today's DraftKings picks.
No,
we are back. Go on, mate.
I mean, so that will put Tim on seven. It'll put Ben on 10. And it'll put me on 2.
Oh, nice. Just in case you have no idea what we're talking about, you get 3 points for a win, one for second place, and then nothing for last. So Tim's off to a fly. Sorry, Chris is off to a fly.
No, I'm not. Tim will be on five. Sorry, Tim will be on five.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh. Big week for the boys.
Strong. If you are tuning in now, give us a like. If you're tuning in and you're enjoying this, give us a like, leave us a comment, say hi. I'll go back through the comments anyway tomorrow and have a look through. If you're thinking, crap, I normally listen to this on the podcast because we've done it the last couple of weeks on the podcast, don't worry. I'm 99% sure. I'm now really hoping that I can take this and put it onto the podcast. If I can't, we'll figure that out later. It should still be on there tomorrow morning. And then the normal podcast will go live on Thursday morning, so you'll be able to catch that. And by the way, it gets a bit heated today. Someone almost walks off in anger, not even joking. So it might be worth a listen. And it might be worth enjoying
it. Me.
It's Ben. It's definitely Ben. if you've enjoyed it, give us a like, say hi, leave us a comment, and hope you're enjoying it. There's all 35 spaces filled up real quick again this week. Though I feel like I was panicking because Tim, by 8 a.m. on this morning, hadn't joined yet, and I was thinking, there's only like three spaces left. May take it up to 40 next week. So if you've missed out this week and you want to get in on this, can you just pop me a message? And if there's like some good demand for it, I will up it to 40 for next week. Yeah, I'm absolutely loving this. I know there's lots of others that are thoroughly enjoying getting absolutely addicted and watching the golf again. So really enjoying it. I hope you guys are too. All right, well, we'll catch you guys later on. Thanks for joining us live this evening. We will catch you on next week. Catch you later.
See you later.
Bye.